This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. All with great warranties. I can attest to that because the Ford I bought from Sunbury Motors, I got a great warranty on it. Not a good one, a great warranty. And not only the buying experience was great, they made sure it was, they did such a good job at taking care of everything. Stanger, you did well. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. The NBA draft is tonight. The Hawks have the first pick. How do I put this? You're going to get the chance at a tour. First, let's start with the. Let me change up for a second. This is not a deep draft. This is not. You have an opportunity to make your team better, but it's not going to be. Even with the first overall pick, Victor Wembanyama in one season did not change the fortunes of the San Antonio Spurs immediately. They have to put better players around him. Is he a terrific player? Yes. Are the Spurs better because they have him? Yes. But did it make a difference of even elevating them to a playoff spot, of which there are 10 in each conference? No. They weren't even close. So a single player immediately won't do that, but if you build around that player, you have a shot in at least 2-3 years. How about that way of putting it? And I think that's, to me, the only way I think you can do that. I think that's the only way you can. So with that said, it's not a deep draft. The problem that you have with the NBA draft, and I've made this point before, as opposed to the NFL draft. Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams, as I've said over and over again, walk into the league already with the potential of league star power because they're known entities. How many of you have ever seen Richey play or Sar play? None of you have. Until the draft, you'd never heard of them.
I was going to say you'd probably have to have NBA TV and just happen to catch them somewhere.
I don't even know if they're on NBA TV. And that is the issue that the NBA has. The top players in the league in the MVP voting, Doncic, foreign-born player, Jokic, foreign-born player, Embiid, foreign-born player, Giannis, foreign-born player. Has the league been able to do really well with non-college players? No doubt it has. But it takes a while to sit there and develop these guys into stars. It took 6 years for Giannis to become a star in the league and to be the, you know, be so good that all we have to do is say Giannis and virtually everybody listening knows who I'm talking about. By the way, the Phillies are beating the Tigers 3-1 in the bottom of the fourth inning. There have been no triple plays in today's game. Although the Tigers won last night at 4-1.
They were on pace for a while to play the quickest game in I forget in how long, but they were on pace to play 139, and I think it went 201.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, they're doing that, and the Pirates are leading the Reds 2-1, and that game is in the bottom of the fourth at Great America in Cincinnati. Ortiz against Martini in that one. Speaking of Martini, how's the corner office doing?
I was going to say, it's a little early for a martini, isn't it?
No!
It's after lunch. I guess it's
yes,
not too
it
early.
Is.
This show gets a whole lot different if we have working lunches like that, huh?
You got that right. You better believe it. Suddenly out of nowhere, it's going to get a lot more candid. That's what I think. So let's talk about the draft for a moment. We talked about the guys up front. And it's interesting. It's two nights. Now, what makes night two a plus and a minus? What do you want to hear? Plus or the minus?
I'm always giving the negative first.
Okay. It's opposite the presidential debate.
That might be a plus.
Could be a plus, yes. The plus is that, in all likelihood, Bronny James is on night two. Okay? So it's a two-night deal. What really strikes me about the NBA draft is the NBA is considered to be a progressive, forward-thinking league, correct?
For the most part.
Yeah. Except, why is it the NHL beat them to the punch in Seattle and Vegas when they've just been sitting there? And then there's this one. The NFL, to its credit, and we all wondered how it was going to work when they said they were leaving New York, remember? We're going to go to Chicago. Like, you're going to go to Chicago, really? Okay. And wow, what a success. Chicago, Vegas, Detroit, Nashville. You go through everywhere it's gone, Philadelphia. The NFL draft has been a huge success, right?
Yes.
Taking it out on the road. Where's the NHL holding its draft this year? The Sphere in Las Vegas. Really? Wow. That's amazing. Meanwhile, the NBA is in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. It's a beautiful arena, right? No getting around it. But it's indoors, it's darker, it's, you know what I mean? As opposed to, like, take the show on the road. Have some fun with it. Hey, Warrior fans, we're going to bring the NBA draft to San Francisco. Right? Hey, Nuggets fans, congrats. We're going to, the Mile High, imagine how big the crowds would be to see this. It's you know, round one, right?
I guess my caveat to that is, you know, we've talked a couple times this week about, you know, the college football players are become well known before they go into the NFL. I'm not sure the NBA or the NCAA and the foreign rookies in the NBA have enough Q rating to kind of pull it off as big as the NFL, at least.
I agree, but even the NHL's going to the Sphere. Now that's exciting to go to. I've never seen it. Can't wait to see it. All right. Now the Sixers, they have the Sixers drafting Rob Dillingham.
Ugh.
Okay.
They keep comparing him to Tyrone Maxey. Tyrone Maxey was 200 pounds when he came out of Kentucky. Dillingham is 160 pounds.
Well, see, Dillingham's problem is, I'm going to get into some player evaluations here shortly. But I'll give you the one on Dillingham right now. We all know that Rob can score. There's no getting around it. He's a good offensive player. But the problem is, he's 6'1". And he is... there aren't many guys in the league that, in my opinion, can play in the league at 6'1 when they're that slight. And I think that's a problem. And there are very few guys that have done it. I think that's a big problem.
And I mean, when you're that slight, how are you going to keep the bigger guards from getting to the basket? You're not. You're just not.
That's right. No, and you know, but again, it's a lean draft, so you can't. Yeah. I can't sit there and say this, be critical of the Sixers for picking him.
No.
Okay, because he might be the best player available at that spot. All right, I got that. So I'm not going to be critical of them drafting Dillingham if he were to be the draft. Because slotted, that's where he'd be slotted. His slot is there. And that's the, you know, but the Sixers are drafting in the middle. They're drafting in the Atlanta Hawks spot, essentially, the old Hawks spot. They always seem to draft in that spot all the time. You're not going to get the awesome and incredible player. You're hoping for help and a potential steal, but help above all. Okay. So what, you know, so say they were to take Dillingham. His scoring touch is really good. And he has really a terrific ability to separate from defenders. Okay. Now, is he a little better passer than maybe we thought it would be? Yeah. And he might be the best overall offensive player in the draft. Like, but again, here's the problem. The problem is his lack of size. He's 6'1". His wingspan is 6'3". He's only 164 pounds. Kentucky listed him at 175 all year. He's 164. And defense, all right, of the top 60 players in the draft, there is a good chance he is number 60 as a defender. They think he might be... I'm talking about evaluators. Think he might be the worst defender among anybody picked in the draft. They say anytime in college he's playing at Kentucky, They would get downhill on him. He just, because he's only 164 pounds, he's only 6'1", he couldn't use his chest to keep them from getting to their spots. And he doesn't contest shots. And he's going to be playing guards that have 30 pounds on him. And that's the other part. He struggles getting, with screens.
It's probably it's probably too high for him, but if we're going to take a defensive deficient guard, I would probably rather have somebody with an elite skill like Cam Spencer shooting or Tyler right. Kolek's playmaking.
Sure, I understand that. And Spencer's going to get picked. Oh. I mean, Cam is going to get picked.
The way he shoots threes, definitely.
Yeah, Ricochet, some people think he might be the first overall pick in the draft. Out of Spain. Look, you're talking about big wingspan. Okay. I mean, and he is, his feel for the game is really, really good. There's no getting around it. He's a good 3-point shooter. All right. He catches off the ball, makes plays. Shooting, off the ball movement, then what does that do? It opens up the world for him as a driver. He is not explosive, though. That's one thing about him. He is not explosive. But to his credit, what he needed to work on in the offseason was to work on his jump shot. He did it. He was an okay prospect last year. He's an outstanding prospect now. Now, the other kid is Sarr. Again, people don't know about him. He's out of France, but he played in Australia. He played at Perth for the Perth Wildcats, where he improved as a free throw shooter. He's 6'11 and three quarters. His wingspan is 7'4 and a quarter. Standing reach is 9'2". And he is really a good defender because he's got length and he can move. You watch when he has to rotate on defense, he moves. He is an excellent defender. Now, the issue for him is, same story as Dillingham, but it's not 164 pounds, it's a different frame. But 224 pounds. And he played most of the season at 215. So the question's going to be with him. With Sarr, there's no doubt he has the biggest upside of any player in the draft. But he's going to walk in with deficiencies. Can he be pushed around when he's posted? That's one. And does he have enough offensive game? His long-range shot is no better than okay. Now, Reed Shepard? Reed Shepard can shoot. I mean, he can shoot. He had 52% of his threes. And he's smart. He's got a high basketball IQ. And he can make a variety of shots and can get his own shots. And he's a playmaker. Now, again, is he big in stature? No. Reed Shepard's just a shade under 6'2". But, and as an athlete, he's average as an athlete. Now, a guy that's not average an athlete is Stephon Castle from UConn. Whoo! Yeah, you're talking about 6'5 and a half. Great for an NBA wing, 6'9 wingspan. All right. Ball handler. He can be a primary ball handler, secondary ball handler. He's excellent in ball screens. The thing about him is that I think people assume he is explosive. He's a really good athlete, but he's not elite explosive. How about that? And he usually is the kind of guy, when he drives, he has to finish with tough contact. And his jumper is okay. his jumper's okay. Then there's Klingon. Awesome size, 7'1¾". Wingspan, 7'6¾". Impactful defensively, no doubt. Okay. UConn's opponents, do you realize shots at the rim? UConn's opponents, 41%. How about that? I mean, they only averaged 89.9 points per 100 possessions against UConn. He's great in drop coverage. And he plays ball screens really well, which in the NBA is really going to help him. Now, is he the greatest athlete out there? No. And in terms of conditioning, notice how many... He's not a 40-minute-a-game guy in college.
I was going to say, he was barely 20. I think it was 23 and a half minutes.
Yep. So, I mean, we'll look at, you know, him. Now, the two other guys we'll take a quick look at in the next half hour, and they are... And Bob Carrington of Pitt won't be one of them, but Bob Carrington, by the way, out of Pitt, is going to be a top 10 pick tonight, just so you know. I mean, good lead or combo guard. I mean, he's going to be good. Now, the problem with him is he also is not an explosive athlete. He's not Jaden Ivey. But Carrington's going to be a top 10 pick. Guess which two players we're going to definitely talk about in the next half hour.
I'm going to guess one is Mr. Edey.
Yep.
I don't know who the other one is.
Bronny James.
Ah. I was actually going to go with Shannon, so.
Well, you know what? Shannon's interesting. Some people have him as a first-round pick. Some people have him as a second-round pick. He's ultra-explosive. I mean, he's the fastest player I saw in person this year. He's the fastest player I saw in person. But there, he has a, you know, and he's also was found not guilty. So he doesn't have that anymore hanging over him. But there are also some deficiencies to his game. I think he's one of those guys who can help. He's like DeSomo. Remember, he got picked by the Bulls. Everybody thought he was going to be a great, great player. He ended up being a second-round pick, and he's been an okay player in the league. Now, remember, he's in the league, so he's got to be good enough to be in the league. But, yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Shannon, too. We'll slip that in. Because they're what Khalil Ware, I think, is going to be a first-round pick from Indiana. I think Cam Christie from Minnesota is a second-round pick. Shannon is, you can debate first or second round in him, and Edey is going to be a first-round pick.
I mean, he's getting close to the lottery. I think I saw him going 14.
Well, you know what? Edey is, as I'll point out in reasons why, there's only a select few that he fits. So it's got to be the right fit for him. There's only a select few that it's the right fit. But Zach has tremendously improved himself. And I give him a lot of credit for it. He had obviously busted his backside in the last offseason to make himself a better player. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory-trained techs take care of your oil change tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Matt Catrillo's son pooped on his Yankee jersey. You want to talk about a young man who may be a little bit more than 8 months old, but he spoke for America. He may not be able to talk, but he spoke for America on that one.
We have proof on who the smartest Catrillo child is now.
Oh, the other kids are adorable, cute, the whole thing. This was the brains of the operation. All right, so.
Future president.
Oh, my goodness. The final half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. What is 1 week from tomorrow, my man?
4th of July.
4th of July. Stock up. Oh, stock up. It's going to be a 4-day weekend. Oof, love it. 4-day weekend. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by my 2 personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Before we get to the draft, you saw Jim Schlossnagel left Texas A&M as the baseball coach and now is at Texas?
I did.
So he's at Texas A&M. He leads the Aggies to the national championship game, the best of 3 series with Tennessee. Won the first game. Tennessee won the next 2, won the title. Texas, during the finals in Omaha, let go of their coach. Chris Del Conte, who had hired Schlossnagel previously, is now the athletic director at Texas. So, the rumors start running rampant that, yeah, they're going to pick Schlossnagel. And this is, you know, so right after the loss to Tennessee, which, no question, is incredibly painful to get that far and not win it hurts. And Texas A&M played really well. Just with Tennessee's night, Tennessee won the national title. He was asked about the Texas job, and he ripped into this guy. Really?
That's apparently not even the worst part. Apparently, he's had this job since before the guy was even fired.
I know.
So I know. He knew then when he said it.
Sure. That's right. And then the next day, officially takes the Texas job. So, number one, Texas paid a $2.7 million buyout. His salary is approximately $3 million a year. His salary at Texas A&M was $1.6 million. Now, let me point out something, though, to balance this in his favor. And that is as follows. He's at Texas A&M. And Trev Alberts is now the athletic director, not Ross Bjork. Ross Bjork... on Monday takes over as the athletic director at Ohio State. So Trev Alberts is now the athletic director at Texas A&M. And has been there for what, 6 months maybe? 5 months? 5 months he's been at Texas A&M.
I was going to say January, February, I think it was.
Yeah, right. And he's already fired some people at Texas A&M. He has no working relationship with Trev Alberts. Now, for all we know, away from the field, maybe they have a great relationship. I don't know. But he to this point, had never had a working relationship with Trev Alberts. And Alberts has come in, and he's kind of moved some of the deck chairs around at Texas A&M. And he has a long-standing relationship with Chris Del Conte, the athletic director of Texas. Long-standing. Hired him one other time. And so from that perspective, I'm going from 1.6 to 3 million. I'm being hired by a guy I know versus working for a guy I'm still getting to know. Right? You know, so from a professional point of view, like, I'm understanding where he's coming from. It's how he answered the question after the loss to Tennessee. You know, even as simple as, like, you know, I don't want to get into stuff like that right now. This loss is still painful for the players, for me, for everybody. We're just trying to get over it or something like that. And if the guy pressed me, he says, that'll be a question for a different day. I'm the head baseball right now. I can tell you, no uncertain terms at this moment, I am the head baseball coach at Texas A&M. Some crap like that, right? But instead, he acted like the guy was just the scourge of the earth. Okay. You want to talk about coming off looking bad? He looked bad. That was bad.
The reasons make sense. The handling it was kind of
right.
bad.
Right. And look, you know, we all know coaching is one of those things where, you know, coaches that have been fired will tell you what an awful experience it is, and that you learn the lesson to somehow figure out how to stay ahead of the game. That is a lesson you learn in it. So, just something that, you know, I think in the end his reasons are fine. How he handled it, all wrong. All wrong. All right, we'll wrap up a look at the draft in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
So much for that bumper music coming back. There we go. Great. There's the bumper music. Okay. So Zach Edey. So let me start with this. To every fan in the past year or the past 15 months that said to me, he's a first-round pick, and I said to you, he's a late second-round pick and not drafted. You were absolutely right, and I was wrong. Okay? So to all of you out there who had that opinion, I went and I poo-pooed it, like, please. All right? You were right. I was wrong. I would like to point out that a year ago, he went back to Purdue for a reason, because he was going to be a late second-round pick or a free agent. And this guy worked his way. I mean, I'm talking, I mean, think about the work Zach Edey put in to get himself to this point. He's proved all the doubters, including me, wrong. I have no doubt about him as a college player. My goodness, I mean, how many Zach Edey games did I broadcast in my career? Right? So no doubt about him as a college player. I just felt like the NBA was just, the style of game in the NBA didn't fit him. Well, to all of you out there who told me, oh, he'll be a first-round pick, you're right. I'm wrong. He is going to be a first-round pick. And as Todd pointed out, he's like some people say he's borderline to the lottery. So we'll see about that. Big, Purdue listed him at 7'4". His actual height is 7'3 and 3 quarters, so Purdue was not did not mislead you. He's just about 7'4". That's without shoes. His wingspan is nearly 7'11". All right. The only player currently in the NBA that has a longer wingspan than Zach Edey is Victor Wembanyama. And remember that in the regional when they won it, they were cutting down the nets and everybody went up the ladder and he just stood there and cut the net? That's because his standing reach is 9'7". Okay. Good, tremendous in the post. You cannot, it is impossible, he's a gigantic man. You just can't move him off his spot. And he plays through contact. That's, remember, Zach Edey grew up playing hockey and baseball. It's the hockey part of it. You watch him play through contact, he'll tell you the hockey part of it's a big reason why he can do that. Because he played a lot of hockey growing up. He is an elite screener. He is an elite screener. I mean, there's no getting around it. And he is excellent in rolling off that because, I mean, his footwork is so much better. The interesting part is that he moves well defensively, but he's not a great shot blocker. That's the odd part about it. It's because he just doesn't. He's not a guy. This is going to sound strange. Edey actually moves well in large spaces. He struggles in tight spaces. Okay? And because he's not that vertical, he doesn't block shots. Or at least doesn't block that many of them. I think people see 7'4", he must have 200 shot blocks. No. Right? The other part, too, that is not great, is he doesn't have great, believe it or not, he doesn't have great hands. I mean, if you fire a pass, like a bullet pass at him, it is really 50-50, he'll catch it. Soft pass, he'll catch it every time. And the problem he's going to have will be on the defensive end. This is where he's a one-trick pony. He is only effective in drop coverage. He's only effective in drop coverage, at least based on what I thought in Washington. I think he's, you know, that's going to be a big liability for him. Length and strength, he's got all that. He also is really good at angles. But quicker guards, quicker players, he's going to have a lot of trouble with. And if he gets isolated on somebody in space, they're going to be able to just blow by right by him. And he does not have a face-up game. But he has earned his spot in the first round. Terrence Shannon, very quickly, okay? He has to learn you need multiple gears to win. He's the fastest guy out there, and he just wants to rush you to the bucket, and he wants to play bully ball, and bully ball does not succeed in the NBA. Cam Christie, terrific shooter, but too slight right now. And he's a very hard guy to project. He'll be a second-round pick, but he's hard to project as to where he's going to be 4 or 5 years from now. But he can shoot it. There's no doubt about it. Christie can shoot it, but he's slight. He's only 190 pounds and is not a good defender. And then there's Bronny, your favorite topic. Bronny James is listed at, 6'3", 6'4", by USC? In reality, he is 6'1.5". Now, at 210 pounds, he's thick, and that's a big plus. I mean, he's thick, and not only that, He is very smart defensively. And you can put him into a wide variety of defensive concepts, and he can play. But how many times do we hear about the expression 3-and-D in the NBA? A lot. And guess what? He's too small to be a 3-and-D in today's NBA. I mean, the one guy his size that has been able to do it is Avery Bradley, right? But Bradley was much better offensive player.
Honestly, I think the biggest thing that's going to hold him back is his refusal not to do the two-way contract thing.
He's going to have to. I mean, no offense. He is going to be a G League player in some form.
I think the Lakers are taking him, and I think he sits on the bench.
You may be exactly right, because I think it's the one way to do it. But you know what? Look, let's be straight about this. I'm not trying to be a jerk here, okay? We try not to do that on the show. Just try to be realistic with people. If his name were not, last name were not James, where would he project in this draft?
He probably wouldn't have come out. He probably would have transferred from USC to someplace else.
Right. And again, he is an excellent defender and understands a variety of, I mean, he has a good feel for that. Right? But he's a good passer. He was a much better shooter in high school than he was at USC. But again, I don't know if that's attributed to the fact he missed time because of the heart ailment. I don't know.
That was the next thing out of my mouth. He's just a year now off that heart ailment. He can't.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine he's back to complete 100%. How's that? I mean, he just getting used to everything again. And I find it hard to believe. He would be transferring somewhere else. Somebody would be getting a decent player, a year off of a major injury, a major problem. And I think he'd be much better next year and probably be in a better position in 2025.
Right. I agree. He would be because he's young, he's 19. There's no question he's athletic. His basketball IQ is off the charts. But offensively, he's a good passer, not a great passer. He's not a great shooter. And he doesn't have the size at 6'1.5". Right? To be honest with you, you have 17 guys on your roster. Roster spots 16 and 17 are two-way players that play part-time in the G League, part-time in the NBA, like Andrew Funk and Seth Lundy, right?
Yep.
He's that guy. He needs to play in the G League. And his father may not want to hear it. Rich Paul may not want to hear it.
Dad's not dumb, though. I'd like to think, you know, after a little bit, they might figure that part of it out.
Dad loves him, and I totally understand that part.